Christ and Him crucified alone without compromise. Psalms 69. Our scripture reading comes from Psalms 69. Kwenenga wama uwa tumtisipula lino kujoke la mbuku la Masalimu 69. Igamaliza Abusa hoste ni pamoti ndi antu kumene kwa mburi ya kichita nyimbo imozi ya mbuku. Pabene tibu iba tikamaliza kwenenge doa kwa Masalimu 69 verses 1 downwards. Verses 1. Save me, O Lord, O God, for the waters are come into my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. I'm weary of my carrying, my throat is dry, my eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies, long friend, are mighty than I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from me. Let not them that wait on thee, O God, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because of thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproach of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I become a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the merchants of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. 14. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep shallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me still. Draw nigh unto my soul, and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. Thou hast known my reproach, and my shame, and my dishonor. My adversary is all before thee. And the last verse. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I look before some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. Brother Austin, kumene babusa Austin yambitani nyimbo ya mbuku imoti, mugamaliza mbale John, aga wenenga Masalimu 69 mchishewa besi aga wani ulegeza 20. Kumenebo ukasungu.
David adanda ulira wa Mulungu chifukwa cha zowawa azimva. Besi 1. Mulungu seye Mulungu. Pakuti madzi afikira moyo wanga. Ndani la mtobe lozama lopanda kupondera apo. ndalo wa mazi uzama ndipo chivumula chandimiza ndalema ndikufula kwanga kumbiro kwa umagwa mmaso mwanga mwada kuyembekezera mlungu wanga ondida kupanda chifukwa achuluka kusisi lapa mutupanga ofuna kundita ndiwo adani anga munama ali ndi mphamvu pamenepo andibwezeza chosafunkha ine mulungu mudziwa kupusa kwanga ndipo kutsutsika kwanga sikubisikira ine iwo akuyembekezera ine ambuye yehova wa makamu asachite manyazi chifukwa cha ine iwo ofuna inu mulungu wa israeli asapepulidwe chifukwa cha ine pakuti ndalowa ndalowa chotonza chifukwa cha ine chipempulo chakuta nkhope yanga abale anga andiyesa mlendo ndi ana amayi wanga andiyesa wamtundu wina pakuti changu cha pa nyumba yanu chandidya ndi zotonza za iwo otonza inu zandigwera ine ndipo ndinalira pakusala kwa moyo wanga koma uku kunandikhalira chotonza ndipo chovala changa ndinayesa chiguduli koma amandiphera mwambi okhala pa chipata akamba za ine ndipo olezera andiyimba koma ine pemphero langa lili kwa ine yehova mnyengo yolandirika mulungu mwa chifundo chanu chachikulu mundivomereze mchionadi chachipulumuso chanu mundilanditse kuthupe ndisamiremo ndilanditseni kwa iwo akundida ndi kwa madzi ozama chigumula chisandifotsere ndipo chakuya chisandimize ndipo asandiseke pakamwa pache padzenje mundiyankhe yehova pakuti chifundo chanu mchokoma munditembenukire monga maunyinji wansoni zokoma zanu ndipo musabisire nkhope yanu mtumiki wanu pakuti ndisautsika ine mundiyankhe msanga yandikizani moyo wanga ndikuwombola ndipulumuseni chifukwa cha adani anga muziwa chotonza changa ndi manyazi anga ndi chipempulo changa akundisautsa ali pamaso pano chotonza chandiswera mtima ndipo ndidwala ine ndipo ndinayembekeza wina wondichitira chifundo koma palibe ndinayembekeza wonditontoza mtima osawapeza amen
chiyambitsa kuti nyimbo namba 55 timayimba namba 54 timbi namba 55 we're just singing the song psalm number 54 which speaks about the scripture reading that we have just read today about salvation from the Lord. It's a fofipa nungu wanga o wanga gatare gatare wanga mundi kuhisa Weza Oma Oma Dimba Buye Oma Ndikari Buye Ndika Oma Ndikari Efo Bendenu Indenu Kaka Kakale puti munda sojira, sojira bila. Imani kona muheva mala, mala. Koma gulota kumbia. Tiandiza, 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 bendelo, bendelo, baja po ndipe, abo kwe abo, kwe abo ino angeli. Angelo ati kumabako kumabako di mungu di wako dola kote kumandika kani kote diga kumandika kani and start preaching whatever God has revealed to you for his sheep.
Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles and look together in Paul's epistle to the Colossians. And my text today is in Colossians chapter 2. And I want to read from verse 14 down to verse 23 and talk to you about being free from the law. Free from the law.
Tichaguleni mabaibulo atuo kugalata wa Paulo olembera kumpingo kwa Kolose akolose mulutu maga maga tikakala tikuyangana pamutu wa kumasulidwa kuchilamulo kukala muntu omasulidwa kuchilamulo.
In other words, what did the Lord Jesus Christ accomplish so that those for whom he paid the debt are no longer under the legal obligation of the law or the penalty of the law? What many don't realize is that if the Lord Jesus Christ did not satisfy the law of God, that is not only in what it says, but even in the spirit of the law, if the Lord Jesus Christ did not satisfy that law for the sinner, then that law stands against the sinner.
Kuonetsa ngati kuti chilamulo Yesu Kristu sadamalize chifukwa chimene chilamulo chidalamulira Yesu Kristu adadzanuka chimalizitsa ndipo ngati munthu atayamba kuona ngati kuti pali ntchito inanso imene yendatsala ya chilamulo yoti munthu atsatine ndi kuchita chimasonyeza kuti ndiye kuti ukulankhula kuti Yesu Kristu sadamalize ntchito yonse imene chilamulo chimafuna.
It would be like even in our judicial system where there's a charge against any one of us. until the judge has ruled on the matter and declared a person either guilty or acquitted, then that will continue to stand against the one charged. So what we're reading here and about to read is how God himself has declared those sinners that he purposed to save to be acquitted from the law. There is therefore now no condemnation. This is an amazing thing to consider, that a holy God, a just God, can look upon sinners such as we are and declare them acquitted from the law. He doesn't do it like many unjust judges would, looking the other way or taking some kind of payment in order to declare the charged person not guilty. That's not how God does it. Nor does he take anything from the one charged as some kind of offering or some kind of payment in order for him to acquit them. Verse 14 here, in one verse, tells us how God can be just and declare those sinners for whom Christ paid the debt to be justified, in other words, acquitted before him. So this is how sinners are made free from the law, or acquitted before God from the charges of the law. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, but it says, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So any hope of salvation, any hope of right standing before a holy God is in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 15, it goes on to say, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. When a Roman emperor won a victory back in the day and conquered his foes, he would ride through the streets in an open chariot, and the captive kings and all of the opposing army, stripped of their armor, and their hands being tied behind their backs in chains. They would walk in front of the emperor, exposed to public shame and disgrace. So what this is showing is that Christ, by his obedient life and by his sacrificial death, has disarmed every principality and power which ever stood against one of God's elect. We didn't actually go out and fight the battle. We're like the people lining the streets, and here comes the conqueror. Here comes the victor, the Lord Jesus Christ. And before him, every enemy defeated on behalf of those for whom he fought the battle. The picture here is of a people being delivered by a conqueror, one who went and fought the battle on their behalf, and therefore now they are safe. These principalities and powers, there are four in particular that our Lord defeated. First of all, there's Satan. The name Satan means adversary. He caused Adam to fall in the garden. And left to ourselves, we could never have defeated Satan. But in fulfillment of what was prophesied there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where it says that the seed of the serpent would bruise Christ's heel. That's what happened on the cross, but it wasn't fatal. But it says he would crush the head of the serpent. On the eve of going to the cross, in the Gospel according to John, our Lord said, "Now is the prince of this world cast out." Satan was disarmed by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross because of his just payment for the debt of the sins of his people. Satan can no longer accuse any one of the Lord's as being worthy of condemnation. Christ has paid the debt. But one of the other principalities and powers is sin. By one man, sin entered in the world, and death by sin. Left up to us, we could never overcome that enemy. But Christ, having paid the debt, you see the context here is blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Sin that stood against us now is no more, because once Christ paid the debt, it's finished. The third is death. Is not death a real enemy? Not just physical death, but spiritual death. In other words, being separated, alienated from life in God. Just pause and think for a moment why it is that any one of us has life in Christ, that the Spirit of God has been given us to know Christ in truth. It's because Christ, by his death, has conquered death as an enemy. It's not just spiritual death, but physical death. Yes, we die because we're sinners, and yet that's not the end. Scripture says, where Christ told Martha there in John chapter 11, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. And then the fourth principality and power which Christ has defeated is hell itself. That is, that everyone for whom Christ paid the debt will never have to suffer eternal condemnation in hell. You see, this is a Christ that the world does not know, because they hear of a Christ who came and laid down his life as an example. But now it's up to each one of us to continue to fight Satan, or to fight sin, or to do what's necessary to overcome death, or to live kind of life to where now, as they stand before God, God might not send them to hell. That's the popular message that's being preached, but that's not the gospel. In fact, any that believe that there are souls in hell for whom Christ paid the debt, they don't know of Christ. They are antichrist. Here it says in verse 15, having spoiled principalities and powers. Spoiled means completely disarm them and make a public display or an example of them. How? By his cross, in the cross of Christ. That's why we preach Christ and him crucified. Now, as we preach, we don't know who those are for whom Christ paid the debt, but he does. But our responsibility, our work is to declare Christ in him crucified, and it is the Spirit of God that directs that word to the heart of his elect.
Christ
We don't preach a false hope in saying, well, Christ died for you, but now if you'll just accept him, then you can be saved. That's not the gospel. What we do boldly declare, however, is that if Christ paid your sin debt, then you are complete in him and you are a captive set free. That's why Paul, in the context here in Colossians 2:10, said that, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He rules over Satan, he rules over sin, he rules over hell, and he rules over death. So that means if Christ has paid the debt of a sinner, that sinner is no longer under bondage to any law, or any ceremony, or any curse before God. Now, people today who say they are preaching Christ, or they believe Christ, they're going to say, yes, Christ died, but anytime they add but to it, then they're undoing what they just said. If Christ died, there is therefore now no condemnation. I don't know about you, but when I go back and read the law, I see everything in that law to condemn me. But now, my eyes being opened to Christ and the work accomplished at Calvary, I go back and read that law and read it as my friend because I see how Christ fulfilled it on behalf of this poor sinner. Now here's where we need to take our stand by the grace of God, because Paul, writing to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, said, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Picture again that Roman emperor who is walking through the streets victorious as a picture of Christ, and the enemy being stripped of their armor and their hands tied behind their backs in chains. They might, in going by, be calling out curses against the people, but they cannot in any way put the people under bondage, because Christ has won the victory. Christ is the victorious conqueror.
Pamene ukadakhala uthenga wabwino, Yesu Kristu anamangidwa kuzungulira mzinda omweya wa Chiloma, iyeye anali kukhululukira ochima omwe osankhidwa.
You see, there are many who say they preach Christ, and yet what they're doing is putting people back under bondage. You'll hear these preachers preaching about how to overcome Satan, or how to overcome sin, or how to overcome death, or how to overcome hell. And they're preaching people into conditional works, that people live in fear because they think they still have to do something in order to have their total victories, the way they call it. I can boldly say that any that believe that way or preach that way have never known Christ. Christ has never been revealed in their heart. That's why here in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16, notice how plainly the Lord directed Paul to write this. He said, let no man, no one, therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days.
Nijifayaje pola mkula paulo mtipaga 16 ya mati ya kula setuyo. Chifayaje mtu aliense asa weruzeni inu mchagulia kapena mchaguma kapena mpunilila tsigula pukando kapena mtsigulo kala mwezi kapena la sabata.
Think of how much of so-called Christianity today has to do with meats and drinks and respecting days and Sabbaths, all of those things. Paul said, don't let anyone sit in judgment on you in these matters. To be free because of Christ and his finished work means that we are free from every obligation and ordinance that men may try to impose. No one can command of any one of the Lord's what he himself has not commanded. That's the freedom that we enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have but one head, and that is Christ. You see, what Paul was dealing with the Colossians, was that they had heard of Christ and him crucified, and yet there were these Jewish preachers that were coming in behind and saying, yes, but we still have the Old Testament laws that we need to keep.
Nkuri ayuda akubwela anso na ulinga kalemwa kulubi na utenga wakwino. Kuma zitsa lapo zindu zina zosa chitidwe zimene mufunika mshite inuyo.
That's like preachers today, and you run into them there, that say, yes, Christ died, but we still have to provide our own personal obedience. So whenever they're preaching from the Old Testament, they're preaching up morals and obligations and things that they say people need to do in order to prove somehow that they're children of God.
That's
That Paul, writing to the Galatians, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21, said that if righteousness come by law, in other words, any aspect of our personal obedience, he said, then Christ is dead in vain. In other words, if there were any possibility for any sinner, by their own obedience to the law, to be able to satisfy God's holiness and justice, then Christ would not need to have come. But what Paul is saying here in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 17 is that the law itself could not make a man righteous. It says here they were but a shadow of things to come. But notice, the body is of Christ. So we see here that the law was never given as a means of salvation. It was given that every mouth might be stopped and the whole world found guilty before God. When we read the law, it's not to try to fix ourselves up, but in it we see our own condemnation. We see just how great is God's holiness. God gave it to shut up sinners to Christ and Christ alone. So all of those Old Testament ceremonies, circumcision, feast days, sacrifices, they were but shadows or symbols of Christ and his work of redemption. It's like what we saw there in Colossians 2:11 through 13 the last time, where circumcision was really a picture of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the cutting away of the flesh spiritually and the casting away of everything that stood against us in his death, burial, and resurrection. When it says there in verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come. You think of a shadow. It doesn't stay in one place. It moves. All of these Old Testament ceremonies were temporary, and they were in effect only until Christ came. When it says there, the body is of Christ, in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, a body hast thou prepared for me. It was necessary that Christ should take on flesh, but that he be without sin, and that he in the flesh should fulfill all righteousness on behalf of those that the Father gave him. In It's Christ who is the substance of all of these. That's why even Christ, after his resurrection, in speaking to those on the road to Emmaus, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, it says that he spoke unto them concerning himself. Now beware of those who say, yes, Christ died, but we still need to go back and keep certain parts of the law in order to maintain that salvation which he obtained. That is not the gospel. Now I hear this accusation all the time from people who have sat under me preaching the gospel for them, but still think and believe that somehow we need to hear something more than simply preaching Christ and Him crucified. I dare say that people that reason that way have never had Christ revealed in their heart, else they would see him as everything before God the Father. That's why Paul says here in verse 18 of my text, Colossians 2, let no man, see, it's the same way he started verse 16, let no man, man's reasoning, that's what draws people off of Christ. When he says, let no man beguile you of your reward, notice it's in the singular. He doesn't say, let no man beguile you of your rewards, but your reward. There are people today preaching that if you just live right and be right and say right, you have rewards, plural, waiting for you in heaven. But for those for whom Christ has paid the debt, and when Christ is revealed in their heart by the Spirit of God, their reward is Christ. That is to be found in Him, not having our own righteousness, which is by the law, but be found in Him through the righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ came and earned and established. Look how the Apostle Paul wrote it in Philippians chapter
3.
Paul at one time thought himself to be blameless by his efforts at obeying the law. But he says here in verse 7 of Philippians 3, but what things were gained to me, in other words, he thought he was gaining heaven, by his works, he says, those I counted loss for Christ. And notice he says in verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things for loss. In other words, stripped of any hope in what he had done, he continues in that same heart and mindset. He said, I count all things but loss, what? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He says, I have, for whom? See, the salvation is about who? The person of Christ. I have suffered the loss of all things. He's talking about disregarding any works of his own and do count them, notice there, but dung that I may win Christ. To win Christ, that's his reward. And he says there, is to be found in him, verse 9, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith or by Christ. So that's why, coming back to Colossians 2 and verse 18, Paul is saying, don't let anyone turn you away from this one truth, this one head, which is Christ, by insisting on any form of false humility or self-abasement or even of worshiping of angels or dead saints, those that have gone on before, teaching what is not in God's word. Left to ourselves, without Christ being our head holding us, we would turn anything into idolatry. We would worship just as most are worshiping today in the world, in false humility, in fastings, and in visions, any kind of imagination. It says there, being vainly puffed up by this fleshly mind. If you ever run into any man, or in this day you have to say woman, but anyone who is preaching up anything as a means of salvation or for maintaining salvation that is not declaring Christ alone and his finished work at the cross alone as your salvation, run hard the other way. Flee. God's sheep don't hear a stranger. They flee the stranger. In Colossians 2 and verse 19, it says, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Any other message is to bring reproach upon our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only head of his body, the church. Christ is the only head. He's the Lord, he's the King, and he's the giver of life. Chop the head off, there's no more life.
Yes, ndiye mfumu, ndiye mwini mpingo, ndiye mwini zonse, kodwa kuti kuchoka pa Yesu Kristu ndiye kuti kulibe kanthu.
The whole body, that is, those souls whom Christ has redeemed and that the Father gave him, the whole body, notice, is knit together in him. That's where we receive our life, our nourishment, our growth. It's only from him. So when anybody comes along and says that something else is necessary to our salvation, either to gain it or maintain it, they are false preachers. They are not preaching Christ. So Paul sums it up here in these last four verses. He says, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. In other words, when Christ died, we died with him. So if we are one of those who died with Christ as our representative, was buried with him, and rose with him, that is, now in him, we're justified, we're pardoned, we're redeemed, we're sanctified, then that means we no longer have any part in this world with the rudiments of the world, with what men preach as necessary things. Since in Christ, all of the ordinances, all the ceremonies, all the types were fulfilled, that means then we are free from any of these requirements. You can see how Paul says, if in Christ we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, from the ceremonies of the law, from the condemnation of the law, why would we ever want to return to these shadows and types?
Yachila mulo, ndizinto zose zokudzika kuchitosa kufa.
Imagine if a house was built, but rather than living in the house, you go out and you live in the shadow. You're outside sitting under the shadow and not dwelling in the house. Does that make sense? No, the house is built for us to dwell in. That's who Christ is.
Amen. Inu, tangori ngalirani, Yesu ramani ndiye mwini nyumba, mwini mpingo. Ndiye mungori ngalira mwuntu ngalariwa manga nyumba, baswa ima anga wa ima rizita, yenu maga kalaba mtuzo nyumba, mkuni na ima konda mtuzo nyumba, nizi kona kumpano wa mtuzo nyumba, basa ni mnyumba imenenda manga. Kwa ni mkoso ni mtu yu mbolo mbosoka uyu uyu.
As he describes there in verse 21 and 22, touch not, taste not, handle not. That's what preaching is, that where people preach up the law. Don't touch this, don't taste this, don't handle this. He says, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. And it says there in verse 23, which things have indeed, notice, a show of wisdom. Men appear to be spiritual in promoting their regulations and their rules. It says that it appears, it's indeed a show of wisdom. People like to appear pious and humble, and so they promote self-imposed laws and discipline and punishment of the body, like fasting. But verse 23 says these are of no value in being able to check the flesh or sanctify the heart. They don't honor God because God is honored only in, by, and through the work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. These practices only indulge natural flesh and a false concept of righteousness. I'll tell you, as the Lord has taught me, I'm thankful that He was pleased to reveal Christ in me and to teach me of the freedom and the joy of what it is to be in Christ and His work accomplished for such a sinner as I am. May the Lord strengthen each of us that He has raised up to preach or to know nothing, as Paul said, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And as objects of His grace, to rest wholly and completely in Christ as our wisdom, as our righteousness, as our sanctification and our redemption.
chiyero chatu ndi zose zathu.
All right, I will turn it back over to you.
So thank you to God because of the wonderful time of worship, wonderful time of hearing the message which speaks about Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
Brother Austin, lead us a song right there from Kasungu. I will assume with the subway than you, but I'm missing any of my mots. Jesus, my Lord, to thee I cry. Unless thou help me, I must die. Oh, bring thy free salvation nigh, and take me as I am. Helpless I am and full of guilt, but yet for me thy blood was spread, and thou canst make me what thou wilt, take me as I am. No preparation can I make. My best resolve I only break. Yet save me for thine own name's sake.
Amen.
Take me as I am.
Yeah.
Behold me, Savior, at thy feet. Behold me. Deal with me as thou seest meet. Thy work begin and thy work complete, but take me as I am, and take me as I am, and take me as I am. My only plea, Christ died for me. Oh, take me as I am. Brother Ken, look to God in prayer as we are crossing this beautiful time of worshiping Christ and Him crucified.
Gracious Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how consistently throughout your word, we are continually pointed to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, not only as our only hope, but as all of our salvation. And I'm thankful that even before we knew him, you knew us. And you took us just as we are. Nothing in us to recommend us to yourself, but according to your will and purpose, decreed that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, should come, live, die, and rise again. That sinners such as we are should stand whole before you. Knowing that, why would we ever look anywhere else? Why would we ever want to follow after the ways of men and their regulations and obligations and interpretations? Lord, I pray that you would give us ears for Christ alone and that he indeed be our all. And so I commend each one today that was under the hearing of this precious word, but Lord, we know it must be you that gives a true hearing, not just to listen, but to hear, to have Christ revealed in the heart. And that being so, nothing else matters. Nothing else is needed. So I commend each one to you, the hearers and the preachers, and may you continue to bless your word as you see fit, to the honor and glory of your Son, whose name I pray. Amen.
Amen.